The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Lent is written in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the morning, in the evening, meat to eat, and in the morning, bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is written in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he would do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessings to all of you on this fourth Sunday in the season of Lent, dear ones. In the Western Church, this particular day in the liturgical year, of course, is known by the Latin name Laetare, meaning rejoice. And for those among us who are new to Lutheranism and the historic liturgy of the church, you might find it a bit odd that this is the case. You might think, well, what has rejoicing to do with Lent? It would seem most fitting to save our rejoicing for after Lent, because, after all, Lent is a penitential season, a special season of circumspection and solemnity. It's a season marked by earnest repentance and sober-minded reflection on the depths of our sinfulness and our great need for salvation in Christ. So why, then, the lighter rose-colored paraments and vestments and the introit that speaks of gladness and satisfaction and rejoicing? What is the meaning of these things? Why do them now, when the fullness of joy in the Easter season has yet to come? Well, without giving everything away right up front, suffice it to say for the moment, dear ones, that in a sense, the Holy Church takes her cue from Christ himself in these things. And today we receive a very welcome measure of relief and a taste of what's soon to come, even as we savor the mystery unfolding before us in its time. Just look at what Jesus does in our gospel text with the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle, by the way, is highlighted by all four of the holy evangelists, Saints Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that should tell you a little something about how important this event is, not only for the public ministry of Christ, but also for the sacramental life of the church here and now. Our text says that a large crowd was following Jesus because they saw the signs he was doing. And Jesus went up on the mountain, sat down with his disciples, and after seeing the large crowd coming and then asking Philip where they might buy bread for all these thousands of people, you can hear the desperation and despondency in Philip's reply. Can you not? Philip answered Jesus, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough. 200 days' wages could not buy all these people enough bread for each of them to have even a little, much less have their fill. And then St. Andrew, the brother of St. Peter, he said to Jesus, well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? What are they when there's such need? How could one ever hope to do so much with so little? Why even entertain ideas of feasting and gladness when all we appear to have is cause for gloom and sadness? But dear ones, the Lord Jesus said what he did as a test, because he himself already knew what he would do. And you should see what a truly sad and sinful thing it is to despair of Christ and to lose hope that he can and will provide for you what is needed in body and soul. And worse still, how sinful it is to think that he'd be content to abandon you in the depths of your sadness and not give you any reason to hope and rejoice in him, whatever it is you're facing. Truly, you must abandon all manner of thoughts such as these, because before he ever asked the question to test Philip, Christ already knew what he would do. And the same is true for you, every one of you today. Dear ones, Jesus knows what's needed for you to be satisfied and sustained, for you to hope and rejoice in him, both now and in the day yet to come. Our text says that Jesus directed everyone to be seated, and when they did, the thousands gathered there all reclined before him. They took the posture of people assembled and prepared for a festal banquet. Their posture was not that of those anxious and sorrowful. No, theirs was the posture of repose, gathered as they were to be fed and to feast with our Lord. So Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And every single one of them ate, every single one was satisfied. Their hunger was no more, and the disciples came to know ever more fully that in Christ their mourning shall turn to gladness, and their sorrow shall give way to rejoicing. I said it before, and I will say it again boldly. Jesus already knew what he would do before giving the meal of bread and fish that fed the 5,000. And the truth is, the satisfaction and joy of that meal was a taste of what was to come. As it happens, the next time that bread and fish are given by our Lord to the disciples in John's gospel is all the way at the end, in chapter 21, after our Lord's triumphant resurrection from the dead. And then, as before, dear ones, the disciples' deep sorrow and sadness gives way to gladness and rejoicing as the risen Christ took bread and gave it to them with fish by a charcoal fire. And together they once again feasted with the very Son of God, the indestructible Lord who had just conquered death and crushed Satan, utterly disarming the principalities and powers of heaven set against them, all of them undone, all of them defeated. And the disciples gathered there with him, feasted together in triumph, savoring every moment of that meal like they did before. But as glorious and magnificent as that meal of bread and fish was on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, that's not what our Lord has given his holy church to celebrate as the sacred meal fit to feed and satisfy her to the very end of the age. But here as well, Jesus already knew beforehand what he would do and what he would give for these purposes. And on the night in which he was betrayed, when the disciples were once again steeped in sadness and without any apparent reason to rejoice, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them with the cup in the same way also after supper. And in this mysterious and miraculous meal, all of them, and now all of us, partake not just of bread and wine, but also of Christ's very own body and blood, the blessings of which cannot run out or be exhausted. This same body, this same blood, offered up once and for all on the cross, is now given to you from this table before you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Christ gives us this most glorious meal to sustain us and make our sorrow give way to rejoicing. It is a most holy sign and pledge and foretaste of the feast to come in the day of Christ's glorious return. So for those of you who have come today hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for those of you who have come weary of an accusing conscience, come, eat, drink, and be satisfied today. For those of you who have come with heavy hearts, grieved and weighed down with great sorrow, let this meal bring you rest. And together with all the saints, rejoice in anticipation of what's soon to come. Savor this meal today with one another, and savor this day in the season of Lent. That is its purpose, after all. Lectare is a day set apart for the intensity of the season of Lent to be lessened, and for you, dear ones, to be refreshed and renewed as we press on towards all that's soon to come in the Easter season, and to do so with joy and the sure and certain hope that it will indeed come in its time. So let songs of praise come forth and sound from within you unhindered, as if your heart were the very harp of the Holy Spirit. And to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.